to the medium, and do we have slides on this property as well?
Yes, Madam Chair. For background, the property is located at 633 Washington Avenue. Here's the subject property depicted in yellow. It is within the Parkview Historic District, which is a local district. Here are a few photos of the property looking south at the house. The view of the property from the alley. A view of the alley looking east. Looking to the west. A view of the existing parking pad. And the preliminary site plan. Also, some of the elevations that were submitted with the site plan as well.
Thank you. Would you like to present, please?
Yes, I appreciate this. My name is Mark
Swaytner. And if you could introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Mark Swaytner. And my wife and I live at the property you just looked at. Purchased it approximately 18 months ago, and at the time there was no garage, but there's a pad that was previously approved through the city. And so our intent was to demolish that pad and put in a two-car garage, but then we decided that it would take up too much of the backyard, so we decided just to prepare the plans for a one-car garage. It is brick. The intention right now is to make the entire structure brick, even though it's my understanding it only needs to be from the street side. The brick, and I did bring the brick for the house, is this color. And I did locate brick similar that will match up to the look. It'll be a standard asphalt roof. And the only thing on the plans that was in error was that window on the upper left picture is actually on the right side of that. It's on the door. That side where the window is showing is the west side of the property. You can't see it. You can't see it from my property, or you wouldn't be able to see it behind the fence. So that is... that will be on the east side of the property, which is where the door is. There was an electrical permit filed with the city to bring electric. We upgraded the electrical panel in the house, and they're just waiting on me to complete if I get approval to do it. It didn't show, but this structure can only be seen. Can only be seen from the street through my metal fence gate, which is really, if you can get to the first picture, it's actually on the right-hand side of that picture. It's a, you know, three-foot wide gate, metal gate. You can see it from the street to the tune of probably half of the, you know, garage. But we wanted to match up to the property anyway, so that was the purpose of using brick. I probably overall would prefer to use something like cardboard siding, but that's not really an option at this on the north face at least. So the only negative about the part of the reason for the pad was the pad, which was, you know, existing, and using it is there is a 4-foot, you know, roughly diameter tree right to the west of it. And I don't know if you can see it. You can't see it. It's on the right-hand side there. Mm-hmm. It's in the fence line. And we don't want to take that tree out. I understand one of the reasons why we decided to go with the one-car garage was that if we take that pad out and re-pour a pad, that there's a strong probability that the concrete leaches into the tree and will kill the tree. And it's about a 65-foot tree. So, anyway, that's our application, and it's the structure side of it is before the University City.
like the door's not drawn in. The swinging door?
The swinging door? You mean the garage door?
Yeah, if we go to...
It's on the... No.
It's
right there. On the
yeah, what does it look like?
The lower left.
No, you want the style of the door is what he meant, Mark.
Oh, the style of the door? You won't see it. It's on from the street because that's on the east side of the property, but it will probably be a window door, just a standard garage window door, steel door.
A steel door with a window.
Yeah. But it that side of the property, which is the upper right-hand side, cannot be seen by the street at all.
Only for the interiors.
You can only see that from my yard and actually maybe from the east neighbor's yard, if they're on their deck. So, but, it's, our intent is for it to look really nice, so I don't know the specific door that, was planned. I anticipate a steel door.
Mark, when you talked to Parkview Neighborhood Association, since Bill brought up the door, since that guy realized it can't be seen from the street, did they have any comments on the style of door?
Parkview has indicated that they have no, use the term, but no jurisdiction over this garage whatsoever. And I submitted that with the application. They indicated since it's in the backyard, there's no issue whatsoever. They are not involved.
Right. That was just for clarification.
No, that's fine. Yes?
I noticed on the main residence you have a clay tile roof.
Yes.
Did you consider using a clay tile roof on this building?
Our intent ultimately is to replace the clay tile roof on the house.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about doing it today. I'm just saying that at some point in time, if we change out, we would probably go with an asphalt roof.
So at this point in time, you're going to go with an asphalt roof.
Right.
But the main house has a clay tile roof.
Right.
Okay. And why? What was there a cost consideration, or were there anything other than what drove that decision? I guess.
My understanding is that there's no restriction on putting an asphalt roof in the neighborhood, and multiple, if not 80%, not 50% of the houses in there that have been re-roofed have all gone asphalt. But to answer your question, there is a significant cost difference between asphalt and the clay tile roof. But that being said, our intent on that roof is to use an upper end asphalt shingle, something similar to what we would use in a house, which would be an upper end asphalt shingle. So not just a normal 3-tab. Heritage is not what it's going to have an architectural element to it, so a thickness to it, but. We've had work done on our clay tile roof. It's expensive to even have the work done on the roof. So since we all purchased the house, I think we've invested about $8,000 in the roof on the house. But it's in great shape now, and it'll last. They said, tell me it'll last for another 50 to 75 years. So it may not happen in my lifetime, but. The intent would be is if I have to change the roof, I'll be good with that, which is what my neighbors have.
Okay. Thank you.
Since you mentioned the roof and the clay tile roof, will the color of the asphalt roof be in consideration with the color of the existing tile roof or close to it since you're matching the brick on the house?
I haven't really thought about it. Because of trees and everything, the only place you're really not going to see much of the roof because it's going to be a hip roof. You won't even see much of the roof from the street at all. So we have thought about color.
Okay.
So.
I
another question.
Sure.
The roof pitch, what is the roof pitch on the proposed design?
That's a good question. I don't know how much of the architects did.
It looks like it's a 4 over 12, which is a fairly shallow pitch.
Okay.
And it's a hip form. Okay.
Right.
So I'm just curious, did your architect talk to you about the efficacy of an asphalt shingle roof on a low pitch roof?
No, I told him that we wanted one, and I also told him that we would, that we wanted a hip roof.
Okay.
So we discussed that.
Okay.
And so, but if for whatever reason it needed to be, a little bit higher, I don't care. I mean, my issue was, I thought that would be the architect's design issue.
I guess one suggestion would be that, considering the roof pitch on the main house, it looks like it's much steeper. Okay.
It is.
I think one of the challenges that we have on this commission is to evaluate the appropriateness of things, particularly in relative to context. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I get what you're doing here, and I respect the fact that you're trying to do things on a budget and all that stuff. But it's perfectly lovely little garage. I just think it probably could have been more attractive from your house if the roof pitch was a little bit steeper and maybe you considered a different roof material.
And another suggestion, if you go to the National Historic Preservation, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, they give you ideas for different types of materials that may look like the clay tiles but would be less expensive. So, you may want to replicate the look. But again, I appreciate and I understand that you're on a budget.
Well, the budget is one thing, but here, understand that the clay tile that we have on our roof is a little bit unusual. And when we had the work done earlier on after we acquired property, I'm not sure I can get that. I might be able to get it as a used product, but I'm not sure I can.
But I guess what I wanted to say is there are looks that are more compatible with a tile roof than asphalt.
Well, we had talked about possibly doing aluminum also, which is a lot more architectural than the asphalt would be. But part of the problem is that whatever I decide or we decide at this point kind of drives what I'm going to end up doing with the house if I ever have to replace the roof on the house. But that's neither here nor there. We want it to be very visually attractive. So, I'm not averse to looking at those products at all. But while cost is a factor, I still want it to look like it's part of the property and that it's been there a long time. So, unfortunately, some of the garages in the neighborhood aren't quite that way still. But neither. That's my opinion.
So. Any other questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion for approval?
I make a motion that we approve the drawings of the garage at 6330 Washington Street as presented.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the list, item B, HPC 1704, 524 Trinity Avenue, Jeff Ryan with Christner Incorporated. This is the COCA, the Center for Creative Arts, that we viewed last month and made some recommendations, and now they are coming to us for approval. So if you'd like to start your presentation, please. You are Mr. Ryan?
Yes, I am. I'm Jeff Ryan. I'm a principal at Christner, and with me is
Heather Wilter with Axiomi.
We're collaborators on this project, so we're going to present together. And I think we noticed that the direct sun, just as he was finishing, came across the screen. So I think we're going to try to adjust the lights. That helps a little bit. And yeah. When we get into the materials, if we need to turn lights back on, we can do that. When we presented for the preliminary, not all of you were here. So what we've prepared today is, I think we had a pretty exhaustive packet. There's a lot of information there. We're trying to touch on a lot of things we presented last time, but focusing on, there were four areas of comments that were, I think, helpful in getting us to think about a few things, and we want to address those four comments primarily. But if those of you, especially those of you who weren't here last time, if you need us to elaborate on anything in the packet or anything that you're not hearing from us, feel free, of course.
So we're proposing an addition to the Mendelson building, the synagogue building, was transformed into COCA, Center of Creative Arts. And these are just some images of the existing building, which is very well known. Its primary material is the Ohio buff-faced brick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, at a high level, before we kind of get into the details of design, philosophically, our approach was to not to keep the existing Mendelson building distinct from our building, to connect to it at certain levels, but also make sure that it's legible at the end of the day. So when you look at the building, you understand that's the original Mendelson synagogue, and then this is the new COCA edition. Some of the comments we heard last time, there were comments about why did we choose the brick color we chose, and if you look at other brick colors, so we've got some information that explains that to you. We were asked to produce an additional rendering. Last time we just had one rendering from the northeast, and we've got one now coming from the other side of Washington. We'll show you. There were comments about the color of hardscape, and we thought those were really excellent comments, and we've incorporated some of that into our work. And then there were some comments about the trees and the balance of trees on the street, and we've made some modifications there.
So the location, the new proposed addition and expansion is opposite a garage that is going to be a Wash U garage. There'll be a pathway between the garage and the new extension. The garage will be completed next summer. And we wanted to make sure that there was a very clear and distinct entry that you could see from the garage and see from the neighborhood. And so the new building expansion is meant to be sympathetic to the existing building, but different and very clear, clearly COCA.
So these are in your packet, you need to see them more clearly, but there were basically five kind of, design strategies we would plot and employ to create kind of a loose connection between the two buildings. First is that, like the existing Mendelson, we have a landscape plinth that is part of the architecture, that the building has a kind of a bermed front to it, like the Mendelson. We have really been very strategic about making sure that the building has a horizontal emphasis, like the existing Mendelson, that's got a horizontal grain to it. We wanted to make sure that the north facade, the public facade, really celebrates all the different activity inside the building, so it's got a lot of transparency where that activity happens. The existing Mendelson on the north facade has a 4'6" module. Basically, sometimes it varies by a couple inches, but basically it's a 4'6" module. We've repeated that module through the building, so even though they have slightly different materials, the module kind of continues. And then in terms of just a basic material connection, we have essentially the same simple palette of metal, glass, brick. That metal, we're using aluminum like the existing Mendelson, the anodized aluminum in the windows and other places. We are using brick like the Mendelson, even though it's a different color. And then we have a couple of variations. We've got a opaque glass we're introducing in the project. And then we have some zinc on the project as well.
So One of the wonderful characteristics of the Mendelssohn Building is that it's made from simple materials, but it's very well detailed and sort of economical in the way that it's put together. The neighborhood material palette is predominantly brick throughout the neighborhood. There are varying scales of monumental buildings and also domestic buildings as well, and a varying variety of brick colors and coursing, and we've mapped out those conditions across the neighborhood.
So this is a picture of our palette. And if you'd like, I can pass the materials around. But this is the brick we're proposing is a manganese brick. It's essentially a dark brick with a glaze that gets baked into it. What we like about it is that it's not a static color. Depending on the time of day and where you, whether the sky's blue or it's gray or whether there's trees behind you, the color of the brick ranges from a gray to a bluish gray. Sometimes it has red in it. I think it's really painterly and appropriate for a performing arts center. We then have, on the north side, we have a low iron glass. We want to make it as clear and inviting as possible so the glass is clear. We have a bench that's made with ipe wood at the front, which will weather really well. And then we have facade materials include the aluminum, zinc, and then this back painted glass. Are you interested in seeing these materials either for the first time or again? Happy to pass them around.
The glass painted brick, is that the west side? These horizontal panels.
The zinc is on that side.
Oh, okay.
The glass is on the, and we we'll go through that in a bit.
Okay.
So when we were looking at the brick, did several studies looking at coming close to matching the coca brick color with the buff. We looked at sort of a red rust kind of color and one that had more red in it. And we also looked at gray. And we looked at the manganese with both a dark coursing and also a light coursing. And I'll just say a few words to the buff. One thing that we've always wanted to do is to really respect the Mendelssohn Building and to hold it as distinct and very special. And so in addition to not being as excited in terms of the coloration of the buff on the design, current design, we also thought that it was good to be in contrast to the existing building. And the manganese had a nice play, especially when it picks up some of the blue, but in a very delicate way, not overtly blue. But it has a nice color relationship to the existing coca building.
Yeah, I think this next slide kind of just shows, if you look down Washington Avenue, at Trinity, they have an orange brick. Epworth has a very red, dark red brick. And Coca had this buff brick. When we looked at that, at those, the choice of bricks, we felt, again, like the buff would really make these two less distinguishable. The red and the rust, anything in the red color, started to associate coca with Epworth, which is not at all what we wanted. And then we did look at a plain gray, but we just felt like it was kind of lifeless. So we ended up with a gray brick, but the manganese gives it, we think, a really interesting kind of level of dynamicism.
Since you brought brick samples, could you pass them around?
Oh, yeah, sure. And so this is a brick sample that matches the existing building fairly closely. It's not exactly perfect, but it's pretty close. The manganese, and Bill, I think you mentioned this is just a brick manufacturer's grout mortar in here. It's not exactly, it's not a healthy tool, but it shows approximately the color of it.
So it's the color, but the tooling is
wrong. But yeah, what we looked at the dark mortar, which made the whole thing monolithic. We really felt like it was too dark. We got to see the strong, but it just made it all very dark. So the lighter mortar will change the color of the whole wall.
wall and light to them.
And then we're going to have a separation between the two bricks by the panels you have in your hand.
There's
automatic inspiration for masking, and then at the lower level, a glass entryway. So the glass sort of separates the two buildings, and there's a green roof.
Yeah, so
is
you
it
can
green
see
room?
It.
Yeah,
so
it's just right there.
Yeah, that little spot is green roof. And then, so there's no brick that comes in touch. They don't come together. They're, you know, 30 feet apart.
It's the glass and the assembly out of your hand.
The glass is, yeah. And that's all. Yeah, so this is, this glass is the frame around this. And then it's the underside of the canopy. So the underside of the canopy is a white glass, like that.
Okay.
But it's got an acid edge to it, so it's not just, it's got a luminous quality, it's got depth to it. And then we wanted to frame the dance studios with that. So this is a combination of aluminum and that white glass. And then when it turns aside, it's one system, and then you can basically, it's a honeycomb system, and they can put anything you want on it. So on the sides, it's a zinc. And then when we come to the front, it becomes this luminous glass. So at the very corner, it's that corner like that.
So is this some kind of rain screen?
It is a rain screen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you're using glass for its reflective qualities?
It's luminous, yeah, light.
Depth.
Yeah.
So we were, as you can see, the massing is something to consider, given the scale of the Mendelssohn building and the height of the new building, which requirement is set by the theater spaces. And so we wanted to make this read as light as possible, to not have a really big, heavy mass that's in competition with the Mendelssohn massing. So that's one of the reasons that we chose St. Kira's building.
What's the north face of the top of the, of the auditorium, new auditorium of the theater? What's that going to do?
That is a century-up panel. So we can go through the elevations, but basically, when you come on the back, the brick goes all the way around the building. But the top of the fly is we introduce a gray corrugated metal back here. The brick is down here, and there's a little like a juncture joint there. And the metal comes around, and it becomes this piece, which then screws the mechanical equipment. And comes back around. So it's, I think the alley is going to be a really handsome elevation, but of course we're really trying to focus more of the money on the public facade.
Did you bring a sample of that material since we would see some of it from the front?
I don't think you are.
You don't see any. Well, you would see it.
That I think this.
Yeah, you can see
this rendering here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is if you're standing far back.
That's right. Farther than you really would see it back.
Yes, I think that. I don't think you're going to see that side of the fly.
You're right. You're
just going to be too close to
it. You have to try really hard to see it.
Yeah.
You have to be in the garage.
No, that's true. If you were in the garage.
Right, that's what I'm saying. If you were in the garage, I realize you can't see with the straight. I was saying if you're higher, you can look straight. Then have an opportunity to see.
Oh. So, yeah, it is this. That's the color.
That's the color.
That's the color. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, can I just jump in real quick?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Just to clarify something, I know you've. Continued on and developed some selections of materials, but has the design at all changed the past month?
Well, we have been focusing on the inside of the building
uh-huh.
the past month. Some things we have been starting to really detail the outside. In terms of the outside, has anything really evolved? I think the hardscape and light landscape.
We took the comments from last time and
you
we'll talk about it later. But
Can you change my microphone, please?
Change.
Oh.
We took comments from our last visit, and we've made some modifications to the landscape and to the hardscape in front.
Oh, okay.
That's been our emphasis, and we've worked primarily on the site and the connection to the garage.
Okay. I just wanted to double check that.
Yeah. And we do have... so this is our night rendering. And then we do have an additional rendering we made. This is coming from the west side, standing in front of 560, basically. One of the things you're going to see us talk about in a second is we did really look at this, you know, where we are removing some trees here to make this drop off, and in a second we'll talk about that. We have, we couldn't get a tree to fit in right here, but we do have one we're proposing right at the corner of our site. And this is, excuse me, this is our previous site slide, and as to remind you, we're proposing that the berm is not a turf berm, but is actually a set of tall grasses and is more indigenous and requires less pesticide and water, but we also think will be much more a lovelier landscape. This is a site plan showing really things that we've amended. So we have these now, these ginkgo trees, they're street trees by U City in the island. And when we do the demolition, there's a set of ginkgos we have to take down right here, so we thought it would make sense just to replace those in that island. Right at the entry, we have a couple of service areas. This is one change. This drawing shows three. We're actually thinking that three is too much. We're looking at two, because it's we don't think there's enough room for the root balls in for three. Then the landscape berm, and then against our neighbor, we're putting a series of columnar horn beams, which will help really create an enhanced landscape. And then at the very end of it, we're adding a street tree, a pin oak, and that will, over time, grow to be a larger, more mature tree than the other trees. But it helps, you know, this is a pin oak here, and this is a pin oak, and it helps kind of continue the it's really a set of ginkgo trees and pin oaks in that area, and really continue that. And then,
there were some minor modifications since the last time that we were here in terms of the way that the entrance is working, the service entrance here, and so we were able to put more landscape elements along this edge, and there's a ramp with a modest handrail that goes down to the sidewalk level.
And then last time, there was a comment about the drop-off circle, that it's going to be concrete, and I think it was a really good observation that day one, the asphaltic street and a traditional concrete drive, that the contrast will be pretty stark, especially when we have a kind of muted gray palette for the building. And so we think that's a great idea. So we're now putting a gray pigment into the concrete, both into the drive but also the walk. We think that the walk, we haven't selected the exact pigments, but the walk and the drive won't be exact the same, but have a slight change to them.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a question about that area.
Sure.
So at the entry plaza, to the left of that label there, there's the raised plinth. And I visited the site, and it's actually a terrace. It has one terrace that occurs. So it looks like the sidewalk and street is engaging that plinth quite a bit.
It is.
And I would think that you would have to put some type of retaining wall.
Well, right here, the plinth is, it actually slopes down this way on the site. So, this is, I believe we're able to avoid retaining wall with this configuration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aren't you doing a similar thing in front of the new building? You've got the word landscaping berm. Are you doing that where you're putting your grasses and stuff on there?
We are really, because the drop-off area was eating into so much of the space of the front, we really put up a small, it's basically a 2 foot to 30 inch, it changes it over the course of the a site with 24 to 30 inch retaining wall that then allows the landscape berm to have a greater presence.
And if I could break in just a second, could I remind the commissioners to speak into their microphones, please? We do need to get notes because this is a public record, and it would make it much easier for our staff. Thank you.
So, that's the slides we intend to show. We do have an appendix. We've got elevations and plans back there if you have any more detailed questions.
I have a question that's only tangential to this, but in the new perspective drawing, it doesn't show the large medallion detail on the side wall of the auditorium, and that is a required feature of the building. I happen to have been on the commission 30-some years ago when that issue came up. And there was some talk about taking that down, but that's really an important part of the design of the building.
Yeah, in our narrative, we're proposing to either donate back to the synagogue or to display it inside the building.
It's not an artifact, it's part of the design of the building. So removing it is not a satisfactory solution.
We're open to that.
Okay.
It's actually been a really interesting area of dialogue about this. I think the position was that it send the wrong message that it's a religious institution when there's a Star of David on the building. We understand that historically it was an important part of the original building.
COCA went from nothing to a huge institution with that logo on the side of the building. I don't think it's damaged their reputation so far.
So I think I need to. We'll need to make sure our client is okay with that, and
okay. If there is an issue, that needs to come back to this commission.
Right. Mr. Hamilton, we will make a note of that for the record, and then allow the architects to discuss that with the clients. And then also, if you could point us to where that might be codified, that'd be helpful as well.
Okay. It's like, as I said, it's like 30 years ago, but it should be in the minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments?
I have a comment. I think you did an incredibly good job. I think you should be recognized for doing a good job because you really did your due diligence and everything you talked about was first rate. The way you analyzed this, the way you picked the materials, the way you looked at context, the way you respected the historic massing and scale of the building, you did a great job.
Thank you.
I agree. Excellent.
We're very excited about this project.
Well, and we appreciate you taking into consideration our comments from last time and really working with that and incorporating.
Yeah, well, we thought there were genuinely good comments. It's always nice to have another set of eyes on something. So
I'm kind of going to defer to staff at this. Should we take a vote, or should we, given Esley's consideration of the Star of David on the building, should we bring this up for a vote at another meeting, or should we take a vote now with a condition attached to the Star of David?
I recommend taking a vote now and including an amendment to the what is proposed. So that the applicant can consider retaining the Star of David as per Mr. Hamilton's suggestion, and if it cannot be retained, that we come back with some additional information.
So I think, Esley, I think you would be the most appropriate person to make that motion.
Okay, I'll move to approve this design with the consideration that If there's a question about the Star of David motif, that would be come back for further review.
A second?
I'd like to second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All
aye.
Opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you.
Judith Deal of the Missouri State Historic Preservation Office, being a certified local government, and she suggested to us that we look into some training opportunities for our HPC. So we've been currently looking into those and some things in the local area, and we're open to any recommendations or suggestions any of you may have. Ms. Deal provided us with two discs. The first one had four PowerPoint presentations, which is mostly just the slides of presentations that were given at this year's Missouri CLG conference. So there's topics of economic development, Main Streets, some myths and truths of the National Register, and then the second video actually includes the topics I just listed off to you. But they're videos of the presenters actually giving the presentation, so you get their, comments and anyone's questions with them. So they're pretty informative and interesting to watch, and they're each about 40 minutes to an hour. So we will make these available to all of you either by copies of DISC or available on the city's website, and we would like to create some sort of form for you all to acknowledge that you've reviewed the training material, and we'll keep it on file to send with our annual reports and have for our next CLG evaluation. So if you have any questions or comments, just let me know.
Well, thank you for making this available to the members of the commission, and I would encourage everybody to take a look at them. I think that it would enhance our knowledge of the whole historic preservation process. Plus, I think if it was on record that we did participate in this, it would be put our commission in a different light as well.
When are those ready?
That is to be determined, but hopefully very soon.
Will there be?
If you could just send us an email when they're ready.
Yes. We will.
What is the latest notice?
These are video. I guess you could say they're training videos.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I was signed up to go to the conference, which I have every other year, but I was ill this year, couldn't go. So one possibility is to have a time where the public had come to these, and then we now have, I think, 14 certified local government cities in St. Louis County. And our county historian, Danny Gonzalez, would be happy to coordinate inviting all of them to come to this. Although I must say that many of the other county CLGs are much more diligent about attending these commissions, these workshops, than we have been over the years. I don't think we've ever had more than one other person at these meetings.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions on the training opportunities? Okay, our next item on the agenda, transmittal of plan commission's recommendations on map amendment rezoning applications, Our Lady of Lourdes Parish.
For context, Madam Chair, these items are being presented to you all, not for comment, but just for information only, so that you too can be aware of what's going on in our community and what is being presented in terms
Business and Development Activity.
Thank you. So any other questions, comments, other business representatives, commission? Our council liaison is not here tonight, so we'll rely on the liaison report. Is there any information reported from Will's staff?
Just briefly, related to historic preservation activities, I received a call from Mr. DeForest that, and Mr. Hamilton may know of Mr. DeForest. He worked in with the National Park Service, I believe, or in historic preservation in some capacity.
And he lives in. Is this the guy who lives in the
Joseph
Murphy House?
Correct.
Oh,
Which was listed on the National Historic Register probably about 2 years ago. And he will be having a home dedication in October and would like to invite the commission members to attend that, and I'll provide more information when that becomes available. In other news around our community, just to let you know that there was the proposal for redevelopment of the Olive and 170 interchange north and south of Olive to Woodson McKnight. I probably brought that to your attention at the last meeting. We're still working with the developer, city council, et cetera, to continue to refine the product and incentives and so on. That's still moving along. Also, to give you an update about the North and South and Olive redevelopment, which included a brewer and a restaurant, the developer continues to seek another brewer for the site. So I continue to say it's as if one tenant was lost and he's trying to seek a new tenant of the same type. We have a number of applications on our other boards and commissions agendas, so we're keeping quite busy, and we'll probably be bringing more to you all in the coming months as well. So thank you very much.
I'll take the Joseph Murphy House. Murphy was the partner in Murphy and Mackey, later Murphy, Downey, Wofford, and Richmond.
Yeah.
And he was one of the most respected architects in St. Louis by the public and by other architects also. And he had a long career. He actually won the Rome Prize and was able to go to Rome as a student back in the 20s, I think. And one of his early buildings was the loggia of the Muni Opera, the beautiful colonnade that faces Forest mm-hmm. Park. And then with Mackey, he designed the Loretto Hilton Theater, the Queenie Tower at Barnes Hospital, the Olin Library on the campus of Washington University. They did other libraries around the country also. I can't think right now, but a lot of landmark buildings. Oh, the auditorium at the Art Museum, which they recently restored. So the house is, I think, exceptionally significant. And also, he had seven daughters, I think, and some number of sons. So he had to enlarge the house at least once, a major addition to accommodate all these children. So it should be very interesting to see.
Where is their house?
It's on Stanford, west of Hamlin. Just about a block west, I think.
Okay. Thank you. Good information.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so if there's no other business, we will adjourn, and I want to thank all the commission members and staff.